Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Word Origins Unlocked. I'm Chris, your guide to the fascinating world of English words.
And I'm Rachel, here to add some color and maybe a few questions to our word adventures. Chris, I'm really looking forward to today's topic. What wonderful words do you have for us?
Rachel, today we're going to explore some adjectives that describe truly delightful people. The kind you definitely want to have in your life. These words express wholehearted approval, and we'll dig into their origins to really understand them.
Oh, I love that. Everyone wants to know words to describe good people.
Absolutely. Let's start with a word that perfectly captures someone who loves a good gathering. Imagine someone who is friendly, happy, outgoing, and just loves to invite people over, whether for a meal, a business lunch, or just to put the coffee on when company drops in. They're sociable, genial, cordial, affable, and they just adore parties with all the food and drink that go with them.
Ah, I know people like that. My uncle is just like that. His house is always open, and there's always food ready for guests. What's the perfect word for them?
The perfect adjective for such a person is convivial. A convivial person really enjoys living and socializing.
Convivial, I like that. It sounds like viva is in there somewhere, meaning life. Am I close?
You're absolutely spot on, Rachel. Your intuition is excellent. The word convivial comes from the Latin verb vivo, meaning to live, and its noun form vita, meaning life.
So it's literally about living or living well?
Precisely. The Latin verb convivo means to live together. From that, we get the Latin noun convivium, which meant a feast or banquet. And that's where our English word convivial comes from. It describes someone who enjoys and contributes to the jovial good fellowship you find at feasts and banquets.
That makes so much sense. Like someone who brings the party to life?
Exactly. And from that same Latin root, vivo, to live, we get a whole family of interesting English words. For example, vivacious describes someone full of the joy of living, animated, and peppy. Think of a lively, cheerful person. You could say they have a vivacious personality.
Like a vibrant, energetic young person, full of cheer.
Right. And then there's vivid, which means possessing the freshness of life, strong or sharp. We talk about a vivid imagination or a vivid color. It's something that really stands out, full of life.
Like the bright red of a chili pepper, or a dream that feels so real.
Perfect examples. We also have revive, which means to bring back to life. Like how old-fashioned trends are revived, or how a drooping plant can be revived with water. And vital, meaning essential to life, or of crucial importance. Things like clean water and fresh air are vital, or a decision can be a vital matter.
So if something is vital, it's absolutely necessary for life or for success.
That's it. And then, staying with the life theme, we have two beautiful French phrases that English speakers use, both related to vivo. The first is joie de vivre.
Oh, I've heard that one. Isn't it about the joy of living?
It is, literally meaning joy of living. It describes an immense delight in being alive, an effervescent keenness for all daily activities. People with joie de vivre are never moody or bored. They're full of sparkle, eager to engage, and always seem to be having a good time. It's the opposite of ennui, which is boredom or weariness.
That's lovely. It reminds me of how children often have so much joie de vivre, excited about everything, from a new toy to a simple meal.
Exactly. And the other phrase is bon vivant.
Bon means good. So, good living?
You're on a roll, Rachel. A bon vivant literally means a good liver. Or, more accurately, a high liver. Someone who lives luxuriously, especially enjoying rich food, fine liquor, and expensive entertainment like theater and opera. Think of a person who indulges in the finer things in life, like a grand banquet with many courses.
Like those elegant, sophisticated individuals you see in old movies, always at fancy restaurants or exclusive parties.
Precisely. and a bon vivant is almost always a convivial person. This also brings us to some words about food, because food and good company often go hand in hand. There's a subtle but important difference between a gourmand and a gourmet.
I've often wondered about those two.
A gourmand enjoys food with a sensual pleasure. They love to eat, and it must be good food. They look forward to every meal. However, the verb form, gourmandize, has a negative connotation, meaning to stuff oneself like a pig.
So a gourmand enjoys good food, but a person who gourmandizes eats too much of it.
Right? Now, a gourmet also has a keen interest in food and liquor, but they are much more fastidious, a connoisseur. They have a discerning palate for delicate tastes and appreciate rare delicacies. They approach food from both a scientific and a sensual viewpoint. Gourmet is always a complimentary term.
So a gourmet is like an expert appreciating the artistry and nuances of food, while a gourmand just enjoys eating a lot of good food.
Exactly. And then at the far end, if someone eats voraciously with no discernment, just to stuff themselves, we call them a glutton. This is a highly derogatory term.
That's definitely a word for someone who just eats without thinking, maybe even to the point of being sick, like saying eating till you burst.
Yes, that describes a glutton perfectly. So you see, starting from convivial, we've explored a whole world of words about life, living, and enjoying social gatherings and food.
That was so rich. What's next on our word journey, Chris?
Our next word describes someone who is delightfully honest and open, almost like a child. Imagine people who are pleasingly frank, utterly lacking in pretense or artificiality. They can't hide their feelings or thoughts, and they are so honest that they can barely conceive of trickery or deception in others. There's a simple, natural unsophistication about them, like a child.
Oh, I know people like that. They wear their heart on their sleeve, and you always know where you stand with them. It's refreshing. What's that word?
The adjective is ingenuous. It's a complimentary term. To call people ingenuous implies they are frank, open, and artless. They're not likely to try to deceive you, nor are they apt to hide feelings or thoughts that more sophisticated people might conceal.
I can see why that's a positive trait. No mind games?
Indeed. But it's important not to confuse ingenuous with ingenious. They sound very similar, but have different spellings and meanings.
English pronunciation can be tricky. So, ingenuous is frank and open. What does ingenious mean?
Ingenious means shrewd, clever, or inventive. Think of someone who comes up with a brilliant solution to a problem. They have an ingenious mind.
So ingenuous is about honesty, and ingenious is about cleverness. Got it.
Now, while ingenuous is complimentary, its synonyms like naive, credulous, and gullible are often faintly derogatory.
Can you explain the differences? I use them sometimes, but I'm not always sure I get it right.
Of course. To call someone naive implies they haven't learned the ways of the world, so they're idealistic and trusting beyond what might be safe. This usually comes from ignorance or inexperience.
Like someone who has just started working and believes everything their boss tells them, not realizing that things aren't always so simple.
Exactly. Then there's credulous. This implies a willingness to believe almost anything, no matter how fantastic. Again, often from ignorance or inexperience, or perhaps an inability to believe that people would lie.
So they'll believe any story, no matter how unbelievable? Like if someone told them a dragon flew over the city, they might actually believe it.
Yes, that's a perfect example of a credulous person. And finally, gullible. This is a stronger, more derogatory word. It means easily tricked, easily fooled, or easily imposed on. Gullibility often results more from a lack of intelligence or stupidity than just from ignorance or inexperience.
So gullible is worse than credulous. It implies being foolish, like someone who falls for every scam email.
Precisely. To summarize, ingenuous is frank and not given to concealment. Naive is inexperienced, unsophisticated, and trusting. Credulous is willing to believe and not suspicious. And gullible is easily tricked.
That clarifies things a lot. What about the opposite of ingenuous?
That would be disingenuous. The prefix dis often means not or opposite. So you might think it just means not frank or open. But disingenuous people are far more than that. They are crafty, cunning, dishonest, insincere, and untrustworthy, all while making a pretense of being simple, frank, and above board.
Oh, like a wolf in sheep's clothing. Someone who seems innocent, but is actually very tricky. We have a saying in Chinese, Xiao Li Kang Dao, meaning a dagger hidden in a smile.
That's a fantastic analogy, Rachel. It perfectly captures the essence of being disingenuous. So, we've gone from charming frankness to sly deception.
What an interesting contrast. What's our final word for today, Chris?
Our last word describes someone with an incredibly sharp mind, someone who can see through complex problems with amazing insight. Their minds are like steel traps.
Wow, that sounds like a super intelligent person, like a brilliant detective or a top scientist who can solve mysteries others can't even grasp.
You've got it. The adjective is perspicacious. A perspicacious person is keen-minded, mentally sharp, and astute. The prefix per means through, so etymologically, the word means looking through matters keenly and intelligently.
Looking through sounds like they can see beyond the surface.
Exactly. And the root of this word is the Latin specto, meaning to look, or its variant spic. This root gives us a host of common English words.
Ah, specto. I can already think of a few words related to looking.
You probably can. For instance, a spectacle is something to look at, and spectacles are eyeglasses, helping you get a good look at the world. A spectator is one who looks at what's happening.
Like watching a thrilling sporting event or a grand show.
That's right. Now, let's explore some other words from this looking root. We have retrospect, which means a looking back. It's often used with in, as in retrospect. That decision seems much clearer.
So, like reflecting on past experiences, how things appear different when you look back.
Precisely. And then there's prospect, which is a looking ahead. We talk about the prospects for the future, or a prospective bride, or prospective job, meaning something you look forward to in the future.
So prospect is about looking forward, like making plans for a trip.
Yes. And if you enjoy looking at yourself, figuratively speaking, examining your mental processes and emotions, you are introspective. People who are introspective look inward and analyze their inner reactions.
Like someone who keeps a diary, always thinking about their feelings and thoughts. That's common for many people, especially when they need to figure things out.
It is. Another word is circumspect. Circum means around. So, to be circumspect means to look around most carefully, to be watchful, cautious, and alert.
Like when you're walking in a new, unfamiliar area and you're very careful about your surroundings.
Excellent example. Now, just like with ingenuous, there's a word that sounds similar to perspicacious, but has a different meaning. Perspicuous.
Oh, another tricky pair. What's the difference this time?
Perspicacious applies to people, their minds, or their reasoning, meaning they are smart and can understand quickly. Perspicuous, on the other hand, applies to things like writing, style, or books. It means easily understood from one look, clear, simple, or lucid.
So, if a person is perspicacious, they understand things quickly. But if a book is perspicuous, it's easy for me to understand.
You've got the distinction perfectly, Rachel. A great teacher might have a perspicacious mind, and they might explain complex ideas in a perspicuous style, making them easy for students to grasp.
That's a really useful distinction. Thank you, Chris. These words are so much clearer now, especially with their origins.
You're very welcome, Rachel. Understanding the roots of words really helps us appreciate their full meaning and use them more effectively. From sociable party lovers to honest souls, and then to sharp minds, we've covered quite a range today.
And it was so much fun. I've learned so many new ways to describe people and their qualities, and to avoid confusing similar-sounding words.
That's our goal here on Word Origins Unlocked. We hope our listeners enjoyed this session and feel more confident using these fantastic adjectives. Join us next time for more word adventures.
See you then.